New River on the river down there. And I believe those kids got some freedom in their life. They were bound by shyness. They were bound by social pressures. They were bound by peer pressures. They were bound by stereotypes. They were bound by the way that people perceive them. And so we become like a caricature of ourselves. People perceive us a certain way, and so we start performing according to their expectations. But I'm here to tell you, God broke that caricature on the river, and He spilled freedom on some young kids' lives. And I saw the Holy Spirit drop like I've never seen it drop. Because I'm here to tell you, it felt like about 10 minutes. I thought it was about 9:30. Is that right, Kevin? Kevin, come over to me. He goes, it's about 11:30 or 11:40, whatever it was. It was after 11. And we're like, what? Like a time warp, like the Millennium Falcon, you know, like where's Josh? Like the what's it? Light speed, warp speed, or that's Star Trek, or whatever it is. But those kids, for that whole time, you know, we're kids, and they're still kids, but they all have different personalities. But for that time period, there was no silliness, there was no goofiness, and that's okay for kids to be that way. That's sweet, that's cute. But it was just like the Holy Spirit had that place. And I feel that they brought that freedom back. I know that He originally gave us the freedom, and we should have it every week. But I believe they sparked a fire in here this morning, because I believe there was an increased intensity and passion in worship. There was just an increased freedom in this atmosphere today. And I think those kids that went on that retreat, I think you guys helped spark that. If you went on that retreat, I know we recognized you earlier. Stand up real quick. Just stand up if you're still in here. Stand up. Stand up if you went on that trip. Stand up. Stand up. Esau, get up. Look at these kids, man. Look at these kids. Look at all of them. Man, they brought freedom in this place. Don't you see that? Isn't that awesome? So God's got a quick word, and I went up there. Jake, did you all have a video? Please make sure it's edited, or I'm going to be embarrassed, okay? All right, I want you to watch this video, and this will be quick word. It's 12:30. We'll be on time. I believe the Holy Spirit will work it out. Let's do this.
Finest people, where is thy salute for presenting yourselves on this battlefield?
I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Paul, the English are too many.
Scotland! I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. Free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Thank you.
your feet and say, freedom! Freedom! You remain standing. I'm going to read from the Word of God just one verse right now. I'll read more later maybe. John 8:36. Dad quoted it earlier and you know the verse. But sometimes we read a lot of verses and we apply none. Maybe sometimes we need to read one verse and apply all of it. Maybe that might be more beneficial instead of reading a bunch of verses and applying none. So I'm going to read one verse right now, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Do you get that? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You may be seated. You know, I tell you, yes, you can give it up for that verse. The word I keep hearing in my spirit, and Dad kept talking about, and the singers kept singing about, is freedom. And, you know, there's no better verse about freedom than that verse, because when you really hear the word, we hear it a lot of times, free indeed is actually, for those of you who don't believe in it, just close your ears. But free indeed is actually tattooed on my collarbone. And so every time I look in the mirror and shave in the morning, I have to stare that in the eye. And then I have to ask myself a question, am I living free indeed? Because the word indeed means this. It means without any question. Now ponder that moment. It means without any question. Unquestionable. Not a doubt in your mind. You are free without question. If the Son really sets you free, you're that kind of free. But do we realize that freedom? Do we walk in that freedom? Do we fight for that freedom? Do we live that freedom? Does our lives demonstrate that freedom? Do we lead our children into that freedom? Do we lead our community in that freedom? That's the question. If God says we're free indeed, are we living free indeed? Can't be a little bit free. You can't be partially free. There's no such thing. You're either all the way free or none of the way free. And I like to use the analogy of pregnancy. You're either all the way pregnant or none. I've never heard anybody say, I'm halfway pregnant. I'm partially pregnant. I don't even know what that would mean. You're either pregnant and going to birth, and you have expectation of birthing something miraculous and birthing something new and birthing new life into your existence, or you're barren. You're either birthing something or you're not. You're either free or you're not. And I believe with all my heart we have some free people in here, but I believe with all my heart we have some people that need to really be free, that really need to be set free. I think we have people in this community, not just in this ministry, but all over the place, that struggle when we come back week after week and we keep coming back and struggling. We keep coming to altars and throwing off chains, and then we pick them back up and walk out with them, and it's a repeat cycle. And there's nothing wrong with coming back and forth. We probably need to come up here more than we do, but I'm here to say that we need to be free people. And I'm going to read from the Passion just 5 verses, because I want you to read the whole context of that verse. You hear that verse a lot, John 8:36. But a lot of times we don't read John 8:31-36, which I think adds some context to the verse. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll just talk for a few minutes and see where the Holy Spirit goes. Here's what he says. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. Surprised by this, they said, but we're descendants of Abraham. We're already free. Yeah, you know, we got this religious thing worked out, man. We're all right. We follow the rules. We follow the rules. We're already free. We've never been in bondage to anybody. How could you say that we will be released into more freedom? But Jesus said this, I speak eternal truth. When you sin, hear me, when you sin, you are not free. You become a slave in bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does. See, a son's free. A daughter's free. A child's free. But a slave goes where his master tells him. And slaves have no permanent standing in the family like a son does. For a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. Be a child of freedom. That's what Jesus said. He said, you know what? I don't do anything halfway. I don't heal people. I didn't go up to the lame man and heal one of his legs and leave him to wobble the rest of his life. When I do something, Jesus says, I do it all the way. So the question is, are we all the way? Are we free? So I started thinking about different types of people that aren't free, historically and culturally. And God, I think, showed me a few types of people that aren't free. One type of person that's not free is called a slave. And we hear about slaves in the Bible. So in this country, we think about slaves as being African Americans for a couple hundred years. But slavery's been going on for as long as there's been humans. Every type of race and type of person has been enslaved and enslaved others. Okay, it's not just one type of person, because that's the one that we're familiar. Listen, there's slaves all over this world. In fact, they say there's more slaves on the planet right now than there ever has been. There's something called sex slavery. And there's these women that are taken against their will. Many of you may have heard of that. And they're taken and they're made do all sorts of monstrosities. And they're not free. And if they open their mouth, they know they'll be killed. And it goes on. You know where it goes on? You think it might go on in places like Hong Kong or Paris or Kuwait. You know where it goes on? Knoxville, Johnson City, Roanoke, Richmond, Charlottesville. Maybe, I don't know. Who said that? I don't know, maybe. Best possible. I wouldn't say against it. I don't know, maybe. But there's all sorts of slaves going on. The slavery. And many times what slaves are they're a conquered people. So in other words, when Rome would go conquer people, they would make them slaves. And historically, that's what would happen. One nation or one group of people would exert their will or conquer another people and make them a slave. So that's one type of person that isn't free. But there's other types of people that aren't free. You know who's another type of person that isn't free? A prisoner. A prisoner. Because a prisoner has done something that he's been found guilty of something, and he's said to owe society, and he's said to not be safe for society for a given period of time. A prisoner is somebody that's not free. When Potter puts handcuffs on somebody, he's not free to go. In fact, if he started questioning me, one of the first things I would say is, am I free to go? Because I don't want to talk to you. And if I'm not under arrest, I'm free to go. But if he can restrain me, put handcuffs on me, and I'm not free anymore. And then I'm going to be put in a holding cell until due process takes over if I can't make bond. And if I'm tried and found guilty, I may be put away for a long time. I may be even killed. Or I may serve life. Or I may serve 27 years. Or I may serve 30 days. But I won't be free for that time period. Because during that time period, my life is not mine to live. Somebody else tells me what time to get up. They tell me what time to go to bed. They tell me where I can move and when I can move and how I can move, what I can eat. And that goes on all over this country. In fact, there's more prisoners in prisons right now than there were ever slaves in this country. Fathom that. There's over 3 million people incarcerated in this country. 3 million people who aren't free in this country. In fact, that's way more than the rest of the world. But they're not free. Because they're guilty of something. Say guilty. So one type of person is a conquered person. And that can be born into being a slave. Another type of person is guilty of something. But there's a third type of person. And in John 8, when Jesus is talking about a slave, the word he really uses is abdata. Abdata. And what that word means is not really what we think of a slave. It's really an indentured servant. And that's a little slight distinction, but it's an important one. An indentured servant is somebody that owes a debt that they can't pay. If you owe a debt that you can't pay in some cultures, then they'll say, okay, Clay, you owe me. Pay up. Clay says, I ain't got the money. Then I say, you're going to come to my house, you're going to work, and you're going to do whatever I say until you make enough money to pay your debt. That's an indentured servant. Those people aren't free. And there's been historically a lot of those people. That was historically a way a lot of people dealt with debt and owing things. You say, wow, this is a lot of weird stuff. What's this got to do with the way we were worshiping earlier? Because God told me this or showed me this when he gave me this message. He said, you know what? Really, we're all three of those, us as people. Our natural self, our natural human self. We're all three of those things. We were born into slavery. We were conquered by original sin. We were born into slavery. You were born a slave to sin. You were born into natural. You were born into original sin. You need a savior. You're not good enough at your birth. I know at your birth, we understand there's a period where you're innocent. We understand that. But as soon as you get to the age of accountability, what happens? You become a person of sin because of original sin. We are all born into that sin. You understand that? Paul says all have sinned and fallen short, right? So if you think just because you've not went to prison or just because, you know, you don't have a heroin problem, you don't need a savior, you're wrong. We're all slaves. We are all slaves to sin. We are a conquered, fallen people. Jesus said it. He says, if you sin, you're a slave to sin. But you know something happened. January 1st, 1863, there was a president, a tall, skinny-looking fella, born in the state of Kentucky, grew up in Illinois. And January 1st, 1863, he made an important proclamation in this country. He said, from this day forward, no man will be a slave to no other man. That everybody born in this country from this day forward shall be free. I don't know. I tell you, I think that's a pretty powerful thing. And I think that's a pretty awesome thing. But 2,000 years ago on a cross, there was the original Emancipation Proclamation that says from this day forth, no man or woman has to be bound by sin anymore. No man or woman has to be a slave no more. Because you can be free people. You can be free people. And not just a little bit free, but free without question. All the way free. All the way free. So we ain't slaves no more, because we were freed on a cross. But how about prisoners? God said, you know what? We're all prisoners because we're all guilty. We're all guilty. We've all done stuff. We've all done messed up. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. So we have a sentence on our head. And honestly, it's a death sentence. Many of you have heard, I've been on death row. Dad's been on death row. And when you go in the chamber down in Angola, there's a red phone on the wall. I preached on that one time. And as I sat in that room, I couldn't help to think how all the men that come in there and get strapped in that chamber, probably the last thing they see, if I'm guessing, is that red phone. Because what that phone is, it's the phone that rings when the governor gives a last minute pardon. And there's been many examples, many cases where a man on death row, some of them later proven with DNA evidence to be innocent, will be ready to take their last breath. And right at the last moment, everybody's there. Da-da-da-da-da-ding. And the governor calls and says, whoa, boys, we better wait and check out some new evidence. The lawyers put a motion in. And he says, there's some new evidence. We better look at it. You know what that is? That's called a pardon. See, you and I have a death sentence on our head. And we don't see it. You know the cool thing about death row? Every time somebody's executed, you move your cell because you move closer to the chamber. So you see the scoreboard real clear. See, we're on death row. We just don't see the scoreboard. We don't know when our execution date is. They do. We don't know when our termination date is. They do. But we're all on death row and we're all moving closer and closer. But I'm here to tell you that 2,000 years ago, a pardon was given and a red phone rang on a cross and it was dripped in blood. The phone was red from the blood of the Savior who pardoned you and he pardoned me. And he said, you don't got to be a prisoner no more because you can be free because I've forgiven you. He said, you know what? I took your death sentence. I took your death sentence. I died for you. That's all high stuff, right? Oh, yeah, death sentence. I took your depression. I took your addiction. I took your alcoholism. I took your hurt. I took your fear. I took your pain. I took your sentence. Because I'm here to tell you the wages of sin are death, but not just a physical death, but a spiritual death here on earth. The wages of sin hurt. The wages of sin are depression, fear, and addiction, and all sorts of things. You know, dying is not the only repercussion of being a prisoner. Living that way may be the greatest punishment of all. It's not fun to live that way. But you've been pardoned by the blood. You've been pardoned by the King. So, we were born into slavery, but we've been emancipated. We're guilty of a crime, so we're prisoners. But we've been pardoned and we've been set free. But here's the tricky one. The one that Jesus talks about in this verse in the Aramaic, Abdota. The indentured servant. You say, why is that tricky, you know? I mean, that one don't sound as bad, you know? I mean, if I look at these, I think, if I had to be one of those three, maybe that'd be the one I want because I could pay myself out of it. But that's the trap. Say trap. Say with me. Say trap. The trap is that that type of person has a false hope that they can take care of this thing themselves. They got this hope inside them or this thought process inside them that says, if I do this or I do that or I work this out, I can pay off my debt and be free myself. That's false hope. It's a trap. And that's really what self-help, and I'm not, some of it might be all right. I don't judge anybody. Y'all know me long enough to know that. But that's what really self-help and stuff kind of teaches. You're your own boss. You're your own God. You're your own king. You are the master of your own destiny. You can do whatever you set your heart to. Really? I mean, it sounds good on a video, Clay. It gets me wanting to lift a little weight. That's pretty cool, right? But does it change my life? How many people do you know that could really say that statement to say, I am the master of my destiny. I live when I want. I die when I want. I get sick when I want. I do everything I want. I am the master of my destiny. Is that really true? Or is that just something you put on a postcard or a t-shirt and inspire people and sell stuff, right? You know what that does? That sells $50 supplements, Clay. And you're the one making checks. I can tell you that right now. That gets people on the internet sending $50 to somebody make them. I'm not going to go there. That's in love, Clay. But here's the deal. It's tricky. Because we think maybe we can pay it off. But here's the problem. You'll never pay it off. Hear me. You can't pay your debt. You can't. Come here, boo. Just stand up on the stage with me, boo. Or you can stand out front. Kathy, will you come? Oh, Kathy on. She must be teaching. Oh. Get ready here, Kathy. And I'll let you help me so I don't have to be. Here's what true freedom means. Listen to me. This goes to the indentured servant. True freedom means you don't owe anybody. Listen to that. True freedom means you don't owe anybody. Because here's the problem. When you owe somebody, they can always call the debt. When you owe somebody, they can always call the debt. When you owe something in your life, it can always call the debt. If you're addicted to drugs, you owe drugs because you can't get through a day without them. And if that's the case, you're not free. Because you owe that thing your life. Your life depends on it, or that's how you feel. You are not capable in your own mind, you think, to get through a day without this substance. Whatever that substance is, whether it's pornography, whether it's tobacco, whatever it is that you can't get through the day without, I'm here to tell you, you're not really free then, are you? Because if I can't get my whatever, I'm going to go nuts. So does that make me free? If I can't get through a day without crying or thinking about things in my past, then these are real issues, but I'm here to tell you, then am I free? Or am I bound to that thing? Do I owe that thing? Do I owe that memory? Do I owe that trauma? Do I owe that feeling inside me? Is that what I owe? That I can't get through the day without dwelling on it or falling victim to it? Am I free? Sin becomes a debt. We already read that. Religion can become a debt because we can't even live free to worship God because we're bound by something. We owe something. If we violate somebody's idea of what we're supposed to be about, and I'm guilty of that. I'm telling you, we are sometimes. We all are. We've had powerful services where we've seen people give their life to Jesus. In the back of my mind, the first thing I sometimes, not all the time, sometimes think is, ooh, did we push it too far? Come on, is that free? Or do I owe something to somebody else's expectation or thought about me or what we're supposed to be about? So, when you really get down to it, these things become chains. Kathy, won't you help me out? They become chains that we carry around. And we don't see them, we don't talk about them, we don't think about them, but they're real. Put them on him. These things are chains that drag us down, and they become weights that we carry around through life. And they restrict our movement. Just put a few on. We'll get more later. They restrict our movement, and they weigh us down, and they change the way we can function. You see, booze meant to do stuff. Booze meant to change the world. I'm sorry. But when we put things on us, we allow things to be put on us. And some chains we carry a long time. Some chains we don't even put on ourselves, we think. Some chains happen to us when we're young and we get used to being through life with them. We get used to going through life, and maybe some of those chains, after a while though, they start having an effect. If I put a weight on you, you might run for a little while, but all of a sudden you might have a little tinge because your body isn't used to it. It's not performing the way it's supposed to perform. And all of a sudden you become stooped and you become lack of inability to function like you're supposed to function. Your spiritual man is not able to run like he's supposed to run, to worship like he's supposed to worship, to move like he's supposed to move. He's tired. He's not functioning. He can't do the things he's supposed to do. When it comes time to witness, he just doesn't do it. When it comes time to go to ministry or do something, he can't do it. When it comes time to whatever God has him to be about, he becomes a broken man, a tied up man, a chained man. He's not free. That's what sin does. That's what depression does. That's what drugs do. That's what our mindsets can do. Sometimes we're not always a prisoner to drugs. Sometimes we're a prisoner to our own mind. Sometimes we put our own chains on ourselves. And we feel we can't get through the day because we're bound. You see, we see people like that every day when you walk through Walmart, when you go on the job. But the chains are invisible, so you don't stop and take time. But just as real as what Boo has demonstrated on him is what's on the spirit of many people in this community, in our families, in this ministry, if we're real. Because remember what Jesus said, we're either free without question or we're not. We're not just a little bit chained. We're either free or we're not. There are documented stories and there are pictures of African American slaves who were freed after the Emancipation Proclamation and after the Civil War, who were freed and their physical chains were taken off. But their shoulders became permanently stooped from the weight of the chains. And they were scarred from their abuse and the chains and the cutting in their skin. Sometimes our chains hurt. Sometimes they have long-term effects. But Jesus said we could be free. Here's the deal. Jesus is the original chain breaker. He's the original emancipator. He came to set the captive free. And that's you and that's me. And not just be free, but free indeed. Did you hear that? Jesus is the original chain breaker. He's the original emancipator. He came to set the captive free. That's you, that's me. And not just free, but free indeed. You got to get a hold of that word. You got to get hold of that word. Because Jesus didn't want you to go through life and just go to church on Sundays, stooped over and bent in your chair, and come up Sunday after Sunday and bow, but get up and carry him back. Because Jesus said, I've come to make you free. I've come to come around, move. Free people. You need to be following Boo. Look at Boo run. Look at Boo run. Look at Boo run. He's a free man. He's a free man. He's a free man. Come up here, Boo. Come back, Boo. Watch that guy run. Watch that man run. Because I'm here to tell you, he's not bound by chains. He might have been born into slavery, but he was reborn, freeborn. He was reborn, freeborn. He's a freeborn man. He's a freeborn man. And if you know the Son, then you're a freeborn man or woman. Now watch this. When he had those chains and he owed, he looked down. He never looked nobody in the eye. And that's the problem when you go through Walmart, isn't it? People, and honestly, that's the problem here sometimes, or any church. You guys are awesome, best church in the world. But come on, we're all real, right? Sometimes we walk in, you know. But you know what a free man does? You know what a reborn, freeborn man does? He kicks his shoulders back. He looks you in the eye and says, I don't want nobody. I am saved by the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb. I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm a free man. I'm a free man. I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. There were kids that went to that youth camp, and they were bound by shyness. Oh, that's a chain. That's a chain. It will hold you back in life. It will hold you back from what you're supposed to do. You know what a shy kid? How a shy guy, am I picking on you? You know how a shy, come here. This is how a shy kid does. Swoop your shoulders. Swoop your shoulders like this. How you doing? And they mumble or they don't. But you know what happened to him when the Holy Spirit kicked his shoulders back? Let him look in the eye. Did you hear him talking on this microphone? This is a freeborn man. Ronnie Johnson. Ronnie Johnson. Ronnie Johnson. Have prayed and thought about my brother. I love him. He's one of my best friends in the whole universe. And I go by his house, and he was in a bad place. Always loving. He never lost his love. But he wouldn't look you in the eye half the time. He was just kind of, now look at him. Put your shoulders back, son. Look me in the eye, son. Show him, crap, you're a free man. You're a free man. Take him out, crap. Let me tell you something about Kraft. I don't know, he might have run on up to Powell Valley or something. Hey, Kraft. There was a time when Dad and I first started, Holy Spirit made this encounter back with Kraft, that he literally, is this okay to talk about? Okay. He couldn't go 4 hours without having a seizure from alcohol. In fact, when he first started coming to church, And some of you, your religious spirit will jump up at this. I don't really care. He'd chug one before he left. And he'd chug one when he got back. Because he didn't want to go into a seizure. That's a lot of chains. He owed. He couldn't live 4 hours of his life without that taskmaster calling the debt. But he's cast off his chains. And he's not drank in 6 months. 6 months. 6 months. That's a free man. That's a freeborn man. That's a reborn, freeborn man. There's freedom in this place. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to your substances. You are no longer a slave to your problems. But you are children of freedom. You are a child of freedom. That is what Jesus said. So here's the question. Who wants that kind of freedom? Who doesn't want just a little bit, pretend, play like I'm free? But who wants to be free indeed? If you're free indeed, or you want to be free indeed, you know what you do? You come back to this altar, you throw off every chain, and you talk to the emancipator. And you said, I want to be free without question. And then you get up from this altar and you kick your shoulders back like you got some pride. And you lift your eyes up. Not pride in you, but pride and the confidence in the one who's took care of you, who broke your chains. See, you can't break it. We've already established that. You can't pay your debt. You can't serve your sentence. But you know what? He can. So you kick your shoulders back because he made you free. You lift your head up because he made you free. And you look people in the eye because he made you free. And you say, he's the one that changed it all. He's the one that changed it all. He's the one that set me free. He's the one that broke my chains. Don't you gloat. Craft, don't you ever gloat. Because you tried a lot of years and couldn't do it on your own. But he helped you. But I will say this. I started with a video about a people that wanted to be free. And when there's an enemy that has you hostage, how many knows he don't want to see you free? There was a whole lot of people who didn't like it when my brothers who were chained against their will were set free. There's a whole lot of people that aren't going to like it when you walk in freedom. There's a lot of people who don't want to see y'all free. A lot of people don't like you all. You scare them. You do. Because if people like you and me can be free, Lord knows what's coming next. Right? Because you can't be controlled. But you know what? That's why they put him on a cross. Because they couldn't control him either. They couldn't control him either. And they never did. And they never will. But sometimes, listen, we're finishing. You got to be willing to fight for your freedom. Because you get up from this altar, and there's an enemy waiting on that door right there. And I see it every time. Whenever I see a powerful, and I warned Bree and Clay this, because Bree and Clay went with me, and thank you, Steve, for ministering at the homeless mission the other night. Bree and Clay went with me and did some ministry. They did what she did, vacation Bible school. But she also did some other ministry. That's fine. This altar's always open. She also did some other ministry with us at Emory and Henry. And I warned them, listen to me, this is all great. Let them have their moment with God, but you got one coming. So listen to me. I warned her. Here's what happens. Star Wars is a great movie, according to Josh. A little nerdy for me. It's all right. I know. But here's the deal about it, Josh. The first movie, Star Wars, but the Empire Strikes Back's next. Whenever there's a move of God, there's always an enemy coming back with a back punch to hit you upside the head. Whenever you have a free moment of God, there's always, I promise you, whenever you have an awesome moment, you wait and see what happens the next week. Somebody tries to hit you upside the head with something. The old devil tries to hit you with something because he don't want to see you free. So sometimes you got to fight a little bit. You got to fight for it. You got to want freedom more than you want to live a comfortable life in chains. Because what that movie was about was they were indentured servants. They were not free. And they had a choice to make that day on that battlefield. Live the rest of our lives, maybe not dead, but carrying around these chains, not free. Or take a chance on freedom. See, there's an enemy in some people's head that keeps telling them, you can't be free from this. You can't be free from drugs. You can't be free from addiction. You can't be free from depression. You can't be free from your mental state. You can't be free from jealousy. You can't be free from intrusive thoughts. You can't be from obsessive thoughts. You can't be free from insecurity. You can't be free from anything. But I'm here to tell you, freedom's worth fighting for. Freedom's worth fighting for. Because an old saying at the old church, which we haven't used in a while, we're coming to a close, is free people, free people. So today the question is, do we want to be all the way free without question? Do you want to be free indeed? And are you willing to fight for it? Are you tired of carrying around these chains? This already hurt my shoulder. And I like to act like I'm not. I'm pretty strong, Clay. Says the guy that quit God's gym while I'm working out every Saturday morning. I love him, and that's why I'll say it. I wouldn't say it to everybody. No, he's a good man. And he's strong, too. He's strong in his own way. But my shoulder's tired of carrying these chains. So today, how about this? Just like those kids, I think they started it. Where's all my kids that went on that trip? Get up here. Every one of you. Where'd Esau go? Get Esau up here too. Every kid. You stand up here. You're going to help me out. Every kid on that trip. Because you know what I think? I think if we really be honest with ourselves, they're more free than we are. Right now. I'm going to do something in just a minute. I'm going to ask you to come up here and throw off your chains. Get up here, kids. And these kids are going to pray for you. And you know how? And you know what they're going to do? They're not only going to pray for you, they're going to pray in the Spirit for you. Because they can now. Because they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that pretty awesome? They're going to pray in their prayer language for you. And you better watch. Yeah, you better watch out because some lightning's getting ready to fall. Some fire's getting ready to fall. I'm telling you. I wouldn't be as confident if I asked some of me and some of these other guys. But them kids praying for you, some stuff's getting ready to happen. You guys, kids, I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you looking at them right now. I want to give them a moment of privacy. They're all bowing their heads. Now, grown-ups, I want you to close your eyes. Who wants that kind of freedom in your life? Put your hand up. Put your hand up. You got to put it up and want it. You can't chicken foot around or whatever you want to call it. You got to want it. Who wants to walk out of here with your shoulders kicked back and your head up high? Freeborn. Reborn, freeborn. Who wants to kick off chains? You stand your feet right now. You stand your feet right now. Stand up. You got to want this, man. You got to be willing to fight for it. Every hand that was raised, stand up. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. All those standing, you come forward to this altar, and these kids are going to pray for you. You come on. You come on. Throw down those chains. I'm not counting. You just come on. We're throwing down chains all over this place. We're throwing down chains all over this place. Come on. Move. 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 Throwing down chains all over this place. Move. Move. Kids, pray for people. Kids, you start praying for people. Kids, I need some adults probably to help. kids. Over here. Over here. We'll let the kids pray too. I need some help here. I need some adults to make sure if there's somebody at the altar that the Lord puts on your heart to ask, if you can pray for them, find somebody, okay? I need some adults to help me out with that part. Now these kids are going to just start praying their language. Hallelujah. Freedom! Freedom! Oh, hallelujah. Are you unquestionably free? Can you say, I owe nothing? I owe nothing. If you're not, then come on up here. If you can't say that, come on up here and let these kids pray for you. Let freedom ring in this place. Come on, move, 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 move. God says, be free. Reborn, freeborn. God says, be free. There's other people in this room. You want it? You want some of this? Get some. You want some? Get some. Get you some of this. Take a chance on freedom. Getting up, don't leave if you can't pray. Kids, if you're not praying, go to somebody and just start praying in the Spirit on them. Start praying in the Spirit on them. If they're already stopped praying, stand up. If they're standing up, go lay your hands on them, pray in the Spirit. I don't care who they are, just grab somebody.